In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to take advantage of the fortuitous combination of readings today that doesn't happen that often because we're reading Luke, the so-called Luke and Jump. You can look that up if you want to understand it and then explain it to me. But we're reading Luke after we've been reading Matthew for some time. We jump to Luke, and yet the readings for the epistles, they stay the same throughout the year. So sometimes, based upon the way Pascha falls, a different gospel might be read with a different epistle. And that's what's happened today. And they're both about sowing. The gospel of Luke about the sower and the seed, we've all heard it. And we probably heard it so much that it probably has lost a little meaning. It's a very important parable. And the most important part of the parable is about the good ground. Only one quarter of the ground bore fruit. The rest of it didn't. Now we are born to bear fruit. We are his workmanship, created unto good works, unto Christ Jesus. That's what we're born for, to become good, to become like him. So if we don't struggle to become good, then what kind of ground are we? With a kind of ground that's good for nothing. And what is good for nothing ground good for? Nothing. So, only one quarter of the people in this parable are saved because we're born to become like God. That's our purpose, to be like him so that we can be united with him. We're made in his image. We are to obtain his likeness. So that's the important part of this parable. Not so much the details about the bad ground, but the details about the good ground. Now, there's a few things said about the bad ground, and so you can learn from those things that the part of the ground was choked with weeds. Some of it was not deep enough so that when the droughts came, it dried up. And then there was also the ground that was hard packed down and didn't even bear the seed at all. The seed didn't even germinate. And those things have spiritual meanings that are very important. But I want to focus today on the good ground, because it said, on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, St. Paul speaks about sowing too today. Here is what he says. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now he's speaking about giving. Later on, he goes on and speaks about basically giving alms and about giving of ourselves to others. But the reason why we give ourselves to others, he also says, because we are enriched in everything by God, and we have thanksgiving to God. Now, I submit to you that these two together will teach you how you are to live. Now, a foolish question would be, which ground do you want to be? That's an obvious question, right? With an obvious answer. You want to be the good ground. Well, what does it take to be the good ground? Because most people do not become the good ground. Most people stay in one of those other three conditions. Now, since all of us are in church today, I guess you could say we're not that first type of ground, but maybe we're the shallow ground or the weedy ground. How do you get rid of the weeds? How do you make your ground deeper and more able to absorb moisture, that is, the Holy Spirit? How do you do that? By sowing bountifully. That's really the key. The key to victorious living is to give of yourself. Let the love of God energize you, and from that love, you love. God is love. That's why we cannot know him without loving. That's why the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second one is like it, to love the neighbor, our neighbor as ourselves. If you don't love your neighbor as yourselves, or actually as God loves him, then you cannot become the good ground. And so St. Paul says he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, sows bountifully will reap bountifully. You must work all your life on sowing bountifully. The Lord sowed bountifully. The 3 years that he was on this earth preaching, the three public years, he had no rest. He gave to everyone, including his enemies. He spoke to those who blasphemed him. He took care of Judas for 3 years. Judas was in his company for all those years. He gave liberally to all, to those who would receive him and those who would not. So we must also give liberally to all, to those who would receive what we give and to those who would not. This is the key to happiness. The reason it is not because it's something that we can say we've done and God can say, well, yeah, you've done a lot of good things. I've got to let you into heaven. Not because of that, but because the purpose of our life is to be like God. Not in his essence, that's impossible, but to be like him in virtue so that we can know him, so that we can be united with him. It's an amazing thing. Flesh that's not at all like God can be united with him. That's our fundamental dogmatic teaching. That's what we're here for. And if we sow bountifully, then we act in love. And if we act in love, then our heart is expanded. And as our heart expands, God fills our heart more. That's the principle. Now, let's look at everyday mundane life and see how we can apply this. Sometimes you're unhappy. You don't like the way your job is. You don't think it's fair. Somebody got a promotion and you didn't. Family things bringing you down. It's tiring to do the same thing every day. Whatever it is, we always find a way to complain. Sometimes, because I'm kind of a smart aleck, people will say something like, I say, how you doing? And they say, oh, I can't complain. And I always correct them, or usually. I say, yeah, you can, but you're choosing not to. But we still choose to complain a lot. We're unhappy about a lot of things, whether we say it out loud or not. Dissatisfaction is a common part of our fallenness. And it really shuts us away from the grace of God. Well, the grace of God is still shining on us, but it's as if we are putting up blinds in the windows so that the light doesn't come through. The key to having this light come through is to not think of yourself. To not think, woe is me, about this problem and that problem and the other problem and everything else. But to think of others. To sow bountifully. To give of yourself to others. I would say if you're just kind of living your life and going to work and going to school and taking care of the errands, and that's about all you have to show for yourself, you're really missing the purpose of your life, and you're missing what can bring you to great happiness. You must be thinking of others. At the very least, praying for others. Being concerned about your brother, your sister, your friend, your office mate, the person down the street, the strange person you see on the bus every day, and praying for them with great desire, but also to be kind to your brother in everything that you see and do in life. Personally, for myself, I must, for my salvation, reach out to others in a physical way, whether it be going to visit in prison or pastoral work. It's very, very important because it helps keep that great passion of self-centeredness a little bit at bay. I have to whip him quite frequently because otherwise he rears up and he shuts out the light. And so the way I whip him is by thinking of others. Now, because of the fact that I sometimes am dissatisfied, I know that I haven't whipped him enough. Because absolutely, if you care about others as God does, you won't be unhappy. Did you know that? That's really true. If you cared about others as God loves them, if you loved as God loves, you would not ever be unhappy. Now, you might have difficult situations, you might have painful situations, but you wouldn't be unhappy. I'm not talking about any kind of surface unhappiness or gladness. I'm talking about deep in your soul, you would be completely content. I must confess to you that I'm not always completely content. I have my moments. But I know why now I'm not completely content. It's because of that passion of self-centeredness. It has to be beaten down. You have to do it. It says the kingdom of heaven is won by violence. We are taking it by force. You know what that means? That means you must give yourself no quarter as far as the way you think, the way you act, the priorities you have. Extreme strictness with yourself, but liberality with others. But strictness with yourself. It's very hard to do that if you're a self-indulgent person. And so, you must sow bountifully. Make an effort to do this. Then you'll become the good ground. Because this parable is true. Now, as far as numbers, I wouldn't be able to tell you if 25% of the world is going to be saved. But only a remnant will be saved, only a small amount. There's a wide road and there's a narrow road. Wide roads carry more people. The narrow road that carries us to paradise holds few people. Because people are not willing to sow bountifully. This you must do. This is very, very important. When you read the gospel and you read the epistle, there should be something inside you that says, I need to change. I need to act like this person is acting or not like this person is acting. You have to have a sense in you of great desire welling up to do better. I'm absolutely convinced. I've seen it in my life. I've gone through some difficult times mentally, if you can even say that. I think it's always spiritually. And I'm absolutely convinced. When I think of others above myself, even to the point that I become tired, even to the point that I become taken advantage of, when I do that, I'm happy. My heart is happy. My heart is enlarged. This is what you must do. This is Christianity. St. Paul says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. It's conditional. God is able to. But he won't unless the grace that he gives you abounds to every good work. It's very important to understand. We live in a society that does not accept this idea. Our society says it's just the things you believe that are important. And of course, they're very malleable now. They can be changed for any trivial reason. But Christianity is about who you become, not what you believe. It's about who you are. It's about whether or not that image of God shines with his likeness. So you have a job to do. You've been bought with a price. You should consider that you don't have a choice about this job, since you are a slave of God. And you should, in your heart, desire always to sow more and more bountifully. You try it. You see whether or not. Are you depressed? Are you anxious? Are you upset about this thing or that thing and the way this person is or that person is? Are you even obsessing about this thing or that thing? All of us have been there, done that. Some of us are doing that right now. Try this. That's not something that acts instantaneously. But over the course of your life, you change. And I'm telling you, absolutely dogmatically, if you think of others as God thinks of them, you would never, ever be unhappy. That's true. So may God help us to do this. This is very important. This is what life is about, to become like God, to become the good ground. Now, in the previous sermons I've focused on this parable. I've talked about what it takes to be good ground, and I've talked about other things. What is good ground? Well, good ground is really loamy and full of fertilizer and able to absorb the water and hold it so that the plants can grow. It's free of weeds and rocks. It takes work to make a good ground. The good ground is your soul. Christianity is work. It is labor. Now, it is easy labor once you have learned how to labor. Because the Lord says, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly. My yoke is easy. So labor is easy if you learn how to labor. And this is the key. Labor with love for your neighbor. And if you labor with love for your neighbor and there is nothing that you would not give to your neighbor, then the labor becomes easy, the heart becomes enlarged and warm, and the Holy Spirit abides in you. That's the key. May God help you to sow bountifully. Amen.